Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thinking back a bit, more surprising to have participate at mandatory minicamp today, James Cook or Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Aaron Rodgers was never going to show up for mandatory minicamp, right? He didn't even have a contract yet.
Right.
The one thing I thought we knew was that he was just going to say, that's a no for me, dog, to the mandatory minicamp. I'll see you when I'll be there. I'm Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to worry. But there he is. I'm watching him right now. Highlights bopping around back there, taking the hand off, throwing it out there to the flat, looking spry.
I want to push back on bopping and spry.
He's just bopping and bipping and bopping. Number eight. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. Well, Sal, it is some amount of a surprise, I think, that Cook was there, isn't it?
I think so, sure. I mean, you had reporting coming from, you know, Adam Schefter recently that said that this wasn't going to happen, alluding to that. I don't think he said specifically, but I think it kind of hinted towards that way.
Yeah.
And how, like, there's a disconnect. He's disconnected himself from the team and the city. I mean, it kind of went pretty, you know, deep into that.
Don't expect to see him anytime soon was a phrasing used.
There you go. Well,
yesterday's you go. Reporting. So.
Soon was only, what, for 24 hours because now we see him. So, listen, I'm a little surprised, right? I'm maybe more than a little surprised. I said with you guys the other day, maybe last week, you know, I at this point probably didn't expect him to be there, but you never know. Well, now we know he's here. And honestly, some more of my surprise might be not only that he showed up, but he actually did everything. And like he was working and, you know, participating like everybody else. So it's just really interesting that we've waited this whole time. We've had this all of this talk going on about it, all this wondering about it. And James Cook shows up like everybody else to the first day of mandatory minicamp.
So the question is why, I guess. You know, what if anything did we misread? Like, guy wants to get a bigger contract, of course. He wasn't too shy about, he wanted us to know. And coming off that touchdown year, it sort of made sense. 1 year left, other Bills got that, he didn't. What did we misread? I guess I want to say, maybe a little bit in my own defense, Sal, as somebody that was surprised too, that I'm not sure how, you'll have a take on this, how strong the correlation is between like being there today and like, you know, I guess the contract is not an issue or not as serious an issue as maybe we had assumed.
Well, I think it's still a serious issue based on everything he said today. Not necessarily like in a threatening or angry manner. But you want to know why he's here? He gave the answer. He was asked why he's here.
I
like my money. That's right. Why I'm here.
Right.
That's why they're all there.
That's why he showed up. He didn't want to be fined. I mean, it's simple as that. Right? I mean, he kind of gave it to you right there.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be fined. But, you know, he still wants to be paid. And he thinks that the running back, he even talked about the running back position should be more valued than it is. You know, that everything will work out in the end. And there was even a part in there where you kind of go back and listen to how he answered things and I couldn't tell exactly if he was saying what I think he was saying, but I think he kind of left it open that he might show up to training camp and hold in. Like, I think I kind of thought that listening to back to the comments to the questions to him, like, hey, are you here? Are you going to be here and do everything and, you know, stay here? And then he said, we'll see when it comes to camp, like something like that. Right. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything about his contract situation or status that hasn't changed. What changed was the fact that he could get fined by not being here.
Right. And, you know, I wonder, Sal, like from his standpoint, I mean, it's easy for us to just assume guys aren't going to worry about the money, but it's $100,000, you know, like to skip 3 days of like, you know, not exactly, you know, heavy lifting. Easy for me to say, I'm not the one jogging around a football field in a helmet and shorts on.
You make it sound actually pretty chill the way you just said it.
Right.
You made it sound like the hardest thing was putting the equipment on.
I think it might be. It's a lot to assume that a guy isn't going to care about $100,000, I guess, is how I would want to say it. And furthermore, I wonder if you know this. I probably should have texted you this or brought it up to you when I was with you yesterday off the air. The forgiveness of fines. Do you need a new? Does he need a new contract? If he were to have skipped this and be fine, that $100,000, in order to get that like refunded or forgiven, does that have to come in the form of a new contract, or can the team just waive that regardless of a new deal or not?
Because he's still on his rookie deal, I believe that like at the end of the day, the team can do that, but they don't have to do that if they think you should be there, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think they're just going to do that absent of a new deal.
Right.
Right. I think that that's when you kind of forgive those things. So, yeah, because he's on his rookie deal, those things can be forgiven. But I don't think they get forgiven by any team that's not going to give you a new deal.
They're right.
Like, look, it wouldn't make sense, I guess, to do that. Right. Maybe it would. I guess you could say, like, well, you're going to show up and you're going to be here. So I guess all is forgiven. That being said, now, the other part of this is there's been some reporting the last, you know, I guess going back into last week about how if you, according to the CBA, if a player does not show up to the first day of mandatory report day at training camp, he does not get an accrued season. Let me explain what an accrued season is. It's basically everybody in the league, you have to be in the league, you have to have 4 seasons in to be a free agent. But you only get credited with a season if you're on like the regular roster or the practice squad for 6 games. So in order for you to get a season counted towards free agency, that has to happen. But you also, if you don't show up to the first day of training camp, it is done. You can't even get a season. So essentially, if James Cook didn't show up to the first day of training camp, he couldn't even count his this year doesn't count for a season for him. He wouldn't even be a free agent. Doesn't say, though, you have to stay at training camp. Doesn't say you have to actually do the work. You could show up to the first day and you could leave, and that would satisfy the requirement.
I was under the impression that that was for if the player didn't have 3 years. And so I thought Cook sort of was exempt from that to begin with. But I might be confusing things. So maybe I should stop talking because
there's a lot of stuff that's confusing. Let me go back and check. You could very well be right. But I think the way Joel Corey explained it was that. But that could be it. It could be that that's the third year. Maybe the first 2 years is when that happens.
Okay. I think I have this then because I heard the same interview that I think you're referencing. This gentleman was on with Chris and Steve on Friday. Sent a message to Brownie about this because I wanted to clarify before we got on the air on Monday. This is why I'm saying I probably should have brought this up to you yesterday when we saw each other socially and I forgot to. But anyway, I sent a message to Chris. Like, did your guest say that he has to report to training camp or not get credit for the year? And Chris said he looked into the CBA and thought that he was right and that that was the case. I'm like, well, that's a big piece of information. But it turns out, once Chris got into it further, that I think Corey misunderstood Cook's timeline. It does not meet that criteria. So he does not sacrifice the entire season if he's not there to report on training camp day.
Got you. Okay.
The way I understand.
Now, that being said, he did indicate he would be. He said today, he was asked once about going to training camp, and he basically is like, yeah, I'll be there. And then later, he was asked about, you know, what he would do or staying there or doing work. And he said, I guess we'll see when it comes to training camp or something like that, which I think just leaves the door open for him to still kind of show up but not really do much.
Right. That is really what I keep coming back to, is just how necessary is it to correlate presence this week with, like, no issue, no worries. Or, you know, the inverse of that. Like, this is a pretty, Sal, right? I mean, this is a pretty chill week. They're working out, there's stuff, they're throwing the ball around and everything else, but nobody's hitting or anything like that. Compared to the first day of training camp when they're on the field, I imagine this looks different. And what is this week, today, tomorrow, and then we'll go to the movies?
Yeah, probably something like that. I mean, yeah, this week is just like OTAs, you're right. There's no hitting, there's no pads, and like the first few days of training camp are like that as well, but you're right. It is a little bit different feel and vibe, and you're there, and you're at Fisher. You're away. You're in a dorm room, and you're going to meetings all day, and the season has started essentially. So it is a little bit different then. I do think it's interesting though that James was asked like, why are you doing everything today? Why are you here? And he said, I'm on a team. This is the team. This is our team.
I'm a leader.
And you know, I'm a leader. I'm not going to come here and not do that. So you know, as much as he might say like, we'll see. Maybe it's just because he wants to keep that door open, but it feels like he's kind of given a glimpse into his own little soul here of saying, I just can't do that as an athlete, a competitor on a team, right? Like, I need to, I'm gonna go out there with my guys if I'm gonna be here. So I just think it's really fascinating.
So the bottom line here, Sal, on a team that's not exactly loaded with these sort of potential crisis points or whatever, not a lot of controversy with the Bills. What's going to be our you know, just us talking? What's our group policy then on this subject for the next 6 weeks? Like, is it? It's not completely. If there's no contract announcement, it's not completely dead, right? The idea of Cook causing a stir into the summer, but it's his being here today. I mean, at least softens it some.
I think so. Listen, it's still going to be a talking point, I think, for all of us in some way, shape, or form, because we could always think about, you know, maybe if it could get done, and what does it look like if it doesn't get done? And maybe the conversation advances to, well, what do you do at the end of the year? We've had those conversations about guys. But sure, between now and then, there's still going to be some wondering of what is James Cook going to do at training camp? And if he does get to training camp, he plays, then it becomes more of, okay, he's in the last year of his deal. We'll still talk about, you know, will the Bills sign him? What is he worth? That part of it won't go away until there is a new deal or there is no new deal, which is how much is he worth, and will the Bills actually wind up signing him at some point between now and March of 2026?
Yeah, just because he is here now to avoid, you know, spending $100,000 doesn't mean, like, it also could be he was advised, you know, whether something is imminent or not. He could have just been advised, you know what? You've made your point on social media. Go in, play nice, and we'll see if that jumpstarts things. And if it doesn't, then the summer, later in the summer, training camp is another opportunity to perhaps take a stand if, you know, you're so inclined. So it doesn't have to. I mean, the feeling today that I have is that the story isn't completely dead, but it feels like it's on its last legs. He showed up to this. What is he going to not show up for training camp? That doesn't really make sense, but I guess he still could choose to make a stand then. This being a good faith effort to get something done. Look, I came, I showed up, mandatory, I did my work. You know, let's get this thing moving here, or I could be a problem in the summer.
And it's so easy.
Right.
This week is so easy. Okay.
Yeah, We're going to be talking about this team in a lot of respects, right? This is funny because for how many years did, you know, you guys go way back even longer than I do, and I will tell you that for many years I would come on and we'd talk about the quarterback. Who's the quarterback? Before Josh Allen, who is the starting quarterback? We'd have a lot of different storylines on the field. This team doesn't have many of those. There are a few, right? Max Harrison, Trey White, you know, what's happened at D-line? You got a couple of suspensions. But really, there's been very little. First, there's been very little drama, as we know, with this organization, other than Stephon Diggs a couple years ago, here and there a few things. Secondly, there's just no spots open. There's not a lot of camp battles. Like, most starting spots are spoken for, except for maybe two of them. I'd say maybe one of them, and even a lot of the depth pieces. So what do you get to? You get to things that, okay, well, how about James Cook and his contract situation, right? So I think that's going to happen, and I do think this year, because of Hard Knocks being there, that will be a bit of a more intriguing, okay, like, how much are they going to focus on this? What's that going to be like watching it?
What a rug pull this was. I mean, Bean has to have a deal with Cook. This is his way of getting back at us. Now what will they do? They're still talking about it, and he's here.
They're going to start talking about receivers again.
Who was the starting quarterback of this Bills team back then? Boy, those were the days. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sal Capaccio here on WGR. The rest of today, Sean McDermott speaking, Josh Allen back from his wedding as well. What stood out to you?
A couple things. We could start with McDermott. Let's start with Josh, because Josh, you know, he's another player on the team like James Cook. He did not want to really talk about anything with his wedding, which isn't surprising. Anytime anything came up about it, he would just, you know, say, yep, and hey, you know, we're good, you know, let's go. Time for football. Back to football. Something like that. So there were a few questions here or there about it. So we really didn't want to go down that road about it. You know, Josh works on different things every year for his game. One thing he said he was working on this year, it wasn't like something, oh my God, I need to work on this. But you know, hey, what are you working on this year? Well, you know, there's always stuff, but maybe my feet and my, you know, keeping my, having his feet in the right spot when he throws, you know. And he said Chris Scher is there this right now. Chris Herr, I think his name is. I apologize. He's the guy who works with Josh on the mapping, and we've seen how they do that, that really cool thing that we've watched the videos on. He was there today, actually, and the quarterbacks were working with him, and Josh was, you know, referencing him being there and working on that. Really interesting about the wide receivers, how they're all different body types. They all have different skill sets. So trying to kind of work with each of them, whether you're talking about Josh Palmer, Curtis Samuel, whoever it is, they're all a little bit different. And, you know, that was interesting to hear from him on that. And I will say, maybe the highlight of the day, you could look at it low light, I guess, the other way, but Joe Andreessen had a nice interception of Josh Allen today, actually, guys, which was pretty cool.
Several guys are injured. Not a big story, yes, necessarily. Taron Johnson, we knew on Bosa, and a few more. Hamlin?
Yeah, so Taron Johnson, actually, he is playing. Ty Johnson did not practice today. Taron does have a red jersey and did practice today. So both, okay, Taron and Ty, but just to clarify on that.
Okay.
Yeah, Joey Bosa, we know. Damar Hamlin, not out there. Connor McGovern. While we were out there, Alec Anderson must have done something because he was practicing, and then trainers came over and they wrapped his leg. And but I saw him afterwards. He, you know, he walked in with the team and all that. It wasn't like he went in. They're going to be very, very precautious, guys, on anything that happens with any of these players right now. KJ Hamler was another one that wasn't out. Cole Bishop.
Cole Bishop, right.
Yep, Cole Bishop. And, you know, again, he was out there walking around kind of with the defenders on the field. But when it came time to do stuff against the offense, he didn't do. So that just kind of tells me they're just being really, you know, precautionary. And I think the bottom line on all of them, Sean McDermott said he doesn't believe any of them have anything that will keep them out of training camp, which is big. I think the other notable thing from Sean today was kind of how adamant he got, guys, after a question. I don't know the exact question, but it was something about young players because the answer was animated. And he was... It's not the first time this has happened with Sean when it comes to this particular subject. Maybe more animated ever, but he made it clear, like, that I know that people say I don't play young players. That is not true. Like, we play young players. You earn what you get. And if you earn it, you will play. And this is not the first time he's kind of mentioned something about that particular narrative or perception of him that he thinks is out, that he says is out there but untrue.
Didn't he also, I don't know if it was in the same context, because I did hear this point you're making about him talking about, you know, if your teammates don't trust you, we're not going to put you out there. That's the bottom line. Whether you're a young guy or a veteran guy, your teammates got to trust you. We got to trust you. Trust. Mm-hmm. But didn't he also say, we're going to play a lot of young guys on defense at one point? That was the thing that really jumped out at me, which is, you know, maybe it's obvious because of their draft class, right? I mean, the first four picks were all defense. I would expect them to all contribute in some fashion, whether Hairston wins a starting job or not. I expect him to be in the mix. And then all the defensive linemen absolutely are going to be in the rotation, assuming they're healthy.
Yeah, he did say that. And he said it's just the way it is. He's counting on, he's looking at it right now. And the way he's looking at his defense and the way it shapes up, he believes they're going to be playing a lot of young guys on defense, which is really interesting. And look, I mean, the defense just did not perform as well as they expected or it should have last year. They took the ball away. That was really great. But there were a lot of times where they just did not get, you know, the necessarily results or the numbers that they felt they should get or want to get. And there's still some veterans on this team that will play. There's no doubt about that, obviously. And, you know, Taron Johnson is going to be starting at nickel corner. You know, Terrell Bernard, he is younger, but he's not, you know, he's a vet now. You know, he's going to be starting at middle linebacker. But you're going to have guys. You're going to have a Landon Jackson, maybe a Javon Solomon, a TJ Sanders, a Deion Walker. Those guys are going to play this year. Cole Bishop is a second-year player. He's going to play this year. Max Hairston could wind up starting at corner. We'll see about that. He's going to play. So this is probably a little bit more of a departure from what we have seen from that defense when you had so many veterans like Micah and Jordan and Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano and all of those guys playing for so long.
Two more quick ones. Shaq Thompson signed a one-year deal.
Yeah, one-year deal, Shaq Thompson. So the Bills actually get 91 on their roster because of their International Pathways Program player. Once again, that is Travis Clayton. He fills out the roster at 91. No corresponding move was needed. First-round pick of the Carolina Panthers when Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were together in Carolina in 2015. Helped them be a part of that team that went to the Super Bowl and then put in some fantastic years. Just 3 years ago, he had 135 tackles in a year. You know, but injuries have really kind of hampered him the last couple of years. Sean recognized that. He talked about it. But this is a guy that knows their defense. He's been very, very flexible as far as position is concerned. You know, I don't know what kind of projection he has as far as anything when it comes to a 53-man roster, but it's certainly some added depth that you feel comfortable having if you're a coach that knows a guy that knows your system.
If McDermott gets defensive about whether he plays young players enough, wait till he gets tomorrow's question, why do you guys only sign players from the Panthers? He's going to love that.
Well, actually, he did not get asked that today, and we did find out Shaq Thompson signed before he talked to us, and we won't talk to McDermott tomorrow. So
next time.
He
next
won't
time.
Get that question. Okay. There you go.
Just kidding. Yes. Also, it's not like the Bills have every hole filled. Apparently, they're looking for a mascot.
I read that, too. I had no idea, but I read that, too, today, that apparently they're looking for a Billy Buffalo. I read that online, and yeah, that's, you know, I don't know what goes into. I do have a funny mascot kind of wow, that's interesting story, which is we were in Denver one year. I might have shared this before on the radio, but it's kind of cool. We're in Denver one year, and we're playing the Bills are playing the Broncos, and me and some of the people from the team were at the hotel, and we were down in like the restaurant area. This has to be the Kyle Orton year, I think, right
okay.
around there. So what's that, 2014, right? So this guy comes into the restaurant and he starts like, oh, hey, he starts knowing all the people I'm sitting with from the Bills. And they're like, yeah, it's the mascot for the Broncos. And I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, how do you know them? He's like, oh, I used to work in Buffalo and I was a mascot there. And I think he might've been like Sabretooth. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you went from one mascot to the other? He's like, oh yeah, this is a career. We have like this fraternity of people. All the mascots know each other. And I didn't know this. Like, I thought this is a pretty big deal, guys. But yeah, they kind of hang out and know each other. And it's a big career that they have that they move around. Like people in radio and TV, I guess.
I would love to know like what the team looks for in a candidate. I think maybe one thing is you probably have to be in really good shape to be the mascot. Like you're
probably right.
You're running all over the stadium all day, right. Climbing on stuff.
And wearing that big hot furry suit.
Hot furry suit up and down the steps
all
day. I bet you have to be in pretty good shape, but I don't know what else.
Well, that's interesting. So you hear that the Bills they're looking to fill the role of Billy Buffalo, and you might think like, oh, I've got a recent college graduate that's having trouble in the job market. Maybe they should apply for this. They seem about the right size to fit into a mascot suit. But little do we know that there's mascot free agents out there banging the door down. They knew a month ago that Billy Buffalo was going to be available, and these people are all lining up. The guy or girl used to be the Cincinnati Reds mascot is on line one.
Right,
they want Billy Buffalo. They think that's an upgrade,
Mr. Red.
Right.
Is there still
I
a
had
Mr.
no
Red?
Idea about this, but apparently it is a thing, and it's you know, hey, good for them. It's a serious business, and that being said, though, hey, if there is somebody out there who wants to apply, I would not discourage them.
Wonder how much experience is really necessary here. Very good, Sal. Thanks for today.
You got it, man.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I knew McDermott wouldn't speak tomorrow. I did say tomorrow. I've been around a little while.
Today was it.
Just like next time. Just kidding. He won't get that. It would be funny. It should be funny if he's in the right mood and you come after that. Maybe that was a little awkward. And you come back, Coach. Why only Carolina Panthers free agents? You might want to be pretty sure of yourself if you're going to go there. 803-0550. James Cook is in. How important is Cook? Do you see it just going smoothly or not that we know? Like, will there be a contract? After all, your thoughts are welcome on Cook, and we'll get into some other topics, believe it or not. So I've said it. Make sure we do.
Okay.
Throughout the day.
Noted.
Lines are open back after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I credit James. Business is business. At the end of the day, he loves being around this team and the guys in the locker room, and he loves to play football. So I respect his decision to be here and be amongst the team and get some work in today. We're looking forward to that.
Asked Sal, and I should have asked him differently because we've talked about it so often, I knew how he felt. We're all surprised to varying degrees that Cook arrived, taking our cues from, Adam Schefter, for one. Like the national media weren't telling us that you know, to expect Cook today. So anyway,
or Cook himself. I mean, not that he ever threatened anything, but just, you know, we've seen pro athletes in the situation he's been in and handling it the way he's handled it. It was easy to get to, he's not going to show up for this thing.
Yeah, you know, assumptions were made.
Yes.
But I wonder, and I don't think we know this, just how...
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Surprised McDermott or Brandon Bean were they told that he'd be here or anything like that? I'm not sure that McDermott wasn't asked that question. It didn't come up in our conversation with Sal. I didn't think to ask Sal. I think it would have been something you'd easily want to point out if it, you know, if he did admit to that, and maybe that's not something he would. You know, he's just more about he's here and we're glad for it. But I wonder how surprised the Bills are. I'll say again, and I'm already sort of annoyed by how, like, I feel like I might sound obsessed with this. And I'm not obsessed with it, but I wasn't expecting it. I was frankly sort of expecting that we would have this to talk about for, you know, off and on for the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we still do. We did talk about that with Sal. It's going to sound more forced, even maybe strange, if we're, again, sounding like we're obsessed with whether a guy who was here today
is going to continue to be here.
why wouldn't he be? Like I told you I was going to. It could be like that. But I do think this week is so, like, cake for the players. It's not the summer grind yet. It's still just more of like a, I don't want to go too far, but, you know, you're just kind of like getting together for a couple of days. He wasn't here for the voluntary, but here you get fined. He's here. I like my money. And, you know, it's kind of an easy week. So I wouldn't want to, having assumed wrongly that there would be a holdout coming, because why do you just spend any energy announcing interest in a new deal and not be prepared to skip the 1 week that would cost you anything to, you know, to miss. And I just,
it doesn't,
it could still happen.
It could still happen. Like I said to Sal, he could be trying, this is an effort to, like, you know, do what the team, you know, mandatory fine. I'm here. Can we jumpstart this again now, please? Like, you know, I would be very surprised if his attending this was not accompanied by a phone call from his agent, Brandon Bean, to see if there's a an avenue to, like, re-engage in talks. That could end very quickly with Bean saying, if you're still in the same place you were, then no, we don't have anything to talk about. Like, that could be a very realistic outcome to that. But, yeah, I think you would at least maybe want to try. Like, look, my guy came. He's doing you know, he's doing things right and not being a problem. And so can we reengage? And maybe you can, and maybe you find your way to something that's comfortable for everyone. And, you know, this completely goes away. But I do feel like the drama about him showing up is gone. I mean, he said as much. He's gonna come for training camp. The thing that's left somewhat vague, like Sal alluded to, like, he didn't exactly say he wouldn't participate, but it was kind of like a we'll see thing. So he could show up in late July at report time and just not hold in, is what it's been called the last few years in the league. It's a pretty common practice. He could choose that route once training camp gets here still.
I don't want to be like, I'm not worried about it, but I don't want to be talking about it all the time. If it happens, it happens. There's less reason to think it will because of today.
Mm-hmm.
It is, however, still a subject pretty much like it was yesterday, whether he gets that deal. Like, that has not changed.
Well, right, because the bigger picture is,
that's what matters.
Are you willing to let him walk away after this year? Now, the Bills could choose to franchise him for 1 year. That is different than guaranteed money over 3 years or 4 years or something. So they have that if they feel they need it. they can go that route. I mean, that is a 1 year, that's a big cap number, but it's like the average of the top five guys. So, you know, it would be probably around the number he was looking for in a multi-year deal, but just for 1 year. So, but really what it is are they going to invest in him as a long-range part of their team or not? So far, it looks like not. And that's what I think the conversation might shift more away from, oh my God, what about 2025? And what about moving forward? What are you going to do if your plan is to use him up this year and hope he has a great year and rides off into the sunset and gets, you know, four for, you know, $55 million or something somewhere else, or more than four for 60 is more the math. Sorry. Somewhere else. Okay. Well then what for you? Right? I mean, you've got a whole nother round of free agency and a whole nother draft to figure that out. But the Bills ostensibly would be saying, we're willing to let you go after this year. And that could be a bit, you know, it's a, that could be a big deal.
Well,
especially if he has another year like last year.
That's all interesting, and we'll talk about it a lot. His absence would have been, you know, content that it's June, right? Like if this were a movie, say Castaway, has the show ever sounded older than a reference to Castaway? Probably has. You have Tom Hanks on the plane. There's the accident. He washes up at some remote island. And then 5 minutes later, he's located and he goes home.
Right.
And he doesn't have to knock his tooth out with that rock. There's no Wilson.
And Helen Hunt didn't remarry.
Helen Hunt's just waiting. She's there to greet him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that's right. There's your movie.
You don't really have a movie.
You don't have a movie. Like
no.
There's, you know,
it's like a half hour sitcom episode.
If I sound a little chapped by this, please understand my perspective where I'm coming from. So yeah, that's not a movie at all. No one would see that. Here is Odell on WGR. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey boys. Appreciate the call. Listen
sure.
to you guys every morning on the way and every afternoon on the way home from
Thank
work.
Thank you.
So appreciate the entertainment. I heard Sal talking about the Bills mascot opening, and I couldn't help but remember an interesting story that I thought I would share with you all. I have one a candidate that likely won't be applying for that role. So I used to own Buffalo Bubble Soccer. We did the Sabres intermissions. Maybe you would remember we were on center ice for a few years straight, put people in bubbles. They
oh,
run around the
sure.
track. Yeah, yeah. So we had that contract, a lot of fun. Appreciate the Sabres for letting us do that. But in the beginning of that relationship, Sabretooth used to come out on the ice and he would kind of bang around the contestants that we would hand select from the audience and kind of have a good time interacting with the kids, the people in the bubbles. Well, one day we picked a particularly rowdy group from the fans, get them in these suits, and somebody just completely lays Sabretooth out on center ice. And he ends up with a concussion and ends up throwing up in the head, the helmet head of the Sabretooth uniform, which it turned out he was fine, right? He did have a slight concussion, but he was fine. So I get a letter the immediate evening from the Sabres, you know, it's cease and desist. You got to make sure no one ever touches the mascot ever again in the bubbles. So we end up meeting the kid a couple weeks later, and he was good. We got a little laugh out of it. But I can probably assure you that gentleman will not be applying for the Bills mascot.
Yeah.
But anyway, funny story. All was well. Dude was okay. But yeah, he got laid out on the ice from the bubble, and that was the last time we had any interaction with the mascot at the Buffalo Sabres. So anyway, appreciate the calls, gents. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. We'll be listening to you all year.
All right. Thank you. We were in those.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the premise here is what? That the mascot would never want to return to mascotting because he got hit once?
Got smashed by someone. Right.
He wanted to tell his story.
Yeah.
Yes, we were in the bubbles, and you got laid out, as I remember.
Well, we did the same night, sumo suits. I took a dive.
Oh, that's what it was.
The sumo suits.
That was in bubbles.
We were in the sumo suits, and at center ice, and... like we ran into each other a couple times, and then I remember thinking it. I think I said to you like one time by like, one of us has got to go down.
Yes, you did.
We just, one of us has got to take a dive here because I'm.
I couldn't get enough momentum up to knock you off your feet.
Right.
And maybe you were the same.
So I just.
So
I,
we're just sort of bumping into each other in these giant suits.
Next time through, I'm going down, basically.
You
and
went
I,
down.
And I went down.
Yes.
I remember thinking it was as, it still is as close as I feel like I've ever come to dying, was trying to get out of that sumo suit.
I know.
That thing was not made for someone who's 6'5", and it, you know, whatever, 280 at the time. I could not get that thing off. It was like there are like three people pulling at me trying to get that thing off, and I was breathing, oh my God, I'm going to die in the sumo suit. This is it.
It's one way to go.
This is how it goes. And then, yeah, that was like first intermission. Second intermission, we did the hamster balls.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking.
I don't think that was like a high collision event, really. Like we didn't. I think we were racing.
It was a race around the outside.
Yeah, right.
Around the rink. The rink.
Yeah.
What I remember most about that night is not from that night, but it would have been like 2005, maybe. Where they didn't have a season then. It was right. Maybe it was 04.
Yeah, it was before. I think before it was before the lockout. I think
03-04.
Yeah.
So I met my wife in 2002, and. We were married 2 years later, and at some point in there, or even after we were married, doesn't really matter, she told me that she was at that game. And I was probably thinking to myself, wow, and we're like a couple? But she was at, I said, well, what were you thinking? And she said something like, I've never seen anybody look less athletic, or something like that. So... I don't know how that worked out. I mean, she was a big athlete, and,
right.
and I was the least athletic-looking person
and still
she
you
could
ended
imagine,
up,
and it worked. I mean, it's 20-plus years.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yes, that's what I remember her saying, that yeah, I was at that.
I remember.
Wasn't impressed.
I remember you telling me about this. I've never heard from anyone I knew that I was out there in those get-ups at all.
Until now.
Until now.
You will.
I remember taking the dive in the sumo suit. The hamster ball, I remember the hamster ball is that – despite it being like safe if you bump into stuff or other people in the balls or the boards or whatever, I was trying to run inside it and fell and landed right on my knee, and that hurt really. That was like I fell straight on my knee on the ice because mm-hmm. like the bottom of it's touching the ice, and that, so I just basically smashed my. I was like, oh my God! I'm like down. Like I gotta get up. I mean, you got you know it's intermission of a hockey game. I'm not gonna lay here writhing, but that was not fun.
Well, it was a night. It was a way to spend the night.
It was Thanksgiving Eve.
Was it?
Yep. Capitals.
Capitals, I would have guessed, but not Thanksgiving. So, I mean, packed house probably.
Yeah.
In the season where they were drawing 11.
Yeah.
they put us in a prime slot. I mean, that was big respect, giving us Thanksgiving Eve. You could have given us Nashville. I mean, you could have given us any other game. They wanted – the stars were out. The stars were out for that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will take a nice little break from James Cook.
Right.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. All right. This will have to wait as we are back on the air. I'll get to it. I've got 7 hours, so no rush. Do I want to draft C.J. Stroud this year. So he threw passes today.
Yeah.
There was suspicion about whether his shoulder wasn't right, but looks okay in these clips.
And furthermore, he said, you know, much ado about nothing, basically. Like, it was no big deal.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that. Where teams like give you good reasons to think something's up.
Right.
Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's a holdout. They're like, what do you mean?
We never told you that.
Diggs 2 years ago, giving off all these signs, and he sits down on some version of today or no, beginning of training camp. It's like, I didn't say that. I didn't say I didn't want to be here. I've only said this.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, everything's unicorns. So I don't know. Stroud, New offensive line, but last year's was bad, so maybe that's good. Coordinator, 2 years ago was good. Last year was considered bad. Maybe that's good. Mixon, I don't know. He's never been good. Lots of volume. Nick Chubb, still, really, maybe?
I wouldn't go near it.
Collins is good.
Yes.
Kirk is okay. Two rookie receivers. I don't know what to do with Houston. They're in a void. I will want to bet on someone else to win that division, firstly because it's going to be better odds, right? Houston will be the favorite. They've won the last 2 years. But maybe Jacksonville.
I would get on Jacksonville myself.
That's the play.
I would want to bet on them passing Houston this year.
Okay. You can do that.
Yeah. I think I'm
about to.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Indianapolis?
No, I don't like their chances of no. I don't think Daniel Jones is going to go great.
He's got you talk about Daniel Jones like he does not have a career road playoff win.
Yeah.
Let's see Allen do that one of these years.
Let's see Allen go play a pre-Kevin O'Connell Minnesota Vikings team.
Well, it was O'Connell.
It was O'Connell, okay.
So. But that was the team with the negative point differential.
I went too far.
A little bit.
It was Kirk Cousins.
It was Kirk Cousins, yep. Yeah, Allen has not enjoyed the, quote, luxury of like being in a division where somebody's better, and so the Bills get to play the AFC South winner, the 5-4.
If they were bad enough to have to go play that wild card game in New England against Mac Jones, you know, then maybe you'd have a road playoff win.
That's right. But, you know, hey, look, this guy does have one. You can't take it away from him. You're trying.
You got to keep going to Kansas City. That's pretty tough.
I'm drafting a lot of Daniel Jones, believe it or not.
Well, he does run.
He runs okay.
And then
the weapons are okay.
Falls over sometimes, but yeah, he can.
And I think he's going to play.
I think that's
kind of settled.
I think almost definitely he's going to play.
Now with another shoulder thing from Richardson, it kind of sounded like that already.
Right.
So that could be something.
But they're not going to be any good.
25 quarterbacks, maybe not. Odds are you're right. 25 quarterbacks have a road playoff, at least one road playoff win since 2015. 25 guys.
That's a pretty surprisingly high number.
Isn't it? 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, I mean, that's more than one road team winning a year. Yeah.
Yeah, and there are several who have more than one.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Tannehill has two. At New England, at Baltimore. Brady has four. Mariota has a road playoff win at Arrowhead for Tennessee.
Oh, right.
John Wolford.
Right. That was Tannehill by the time Tennessee beat them in Foxborough, right?
Right. Yeah. John Wolford started for the Rams in Seattle because Goff was injured, got injured himself early. Goff went in hurt, and they won. So give that one to John Wolford.
Oh.
I wonder if Goff has one. Goff would have New Orleans, the controversial pass interference that wasn't called on Nicole Roby Coleman.
The Rams to go to that Super Bowl, yeah.
Look at the list out. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. James Cook was present and active at Bills minicamp today. His value to them for you is what? Lines are open for your calls. This is WGR.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.